Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
Could you help me welcome our online campus for this service? Would you all say hello to your church family? Tell them we're glad they're watching. Glad you all are watching. Thank you all for celebrating with us. And so what we're going to do next is I am going to read a Christmas story to all the kids. So I'm going to invite all of the kids to come down front here with me so I can read you a story. So kids, come on down. This is your moment. Come on, my man. Come on, come on, come on. You can come all the way up here on this part. Come on up. Come on up. Oh, you're going to sit with me, bud? Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right. Sounds good. How you doing, buddy? You doing good?
Oh. Look, this is my friend Carter.
That's your friend Carter?
Yeah.
Okay, but this is my time to shine, not yours, bud. I got to read this book. Okay? You want to help me here? Yeah, okay. Is everybody excited for Christmas? Yeah, I'm going to read you a story. And if you can't see the pages on my book, I'm going to do my best to turn so you can see them. But if you can't, right on that big screen behind me, there's going to be some pictures of what I'm reading, okay? Quentin, you want to go right there so you can see behind me? Yeah, okay. Thanks, buddy. All right, good for you. All right. So this is the name of the book, My Merry Christmas and the Real Reason for Christmas Joy. What is Christmas? Do you know? Gifts and food and lots of snow, twinkling lights and Christmas tree, angels, stars, and family? Yes, all of that and even more. So what is Christmas really for? The lights that glitter on the tree tell us Jesus came to be a light for us. And so we say this Christmas time and every day, light our path, dear Lord, we pray. Angels sparkling in the light remind us angels sang that night. Good news, God's son is born today. Jesus is born. Hooray, hooray. Can you help me and say hooray? Come on.
Hooray.
Hooray. All right, good, good. You should have seen the last crew. It was sad. Don't it good? Sing for joy on Christmas Day. The tree that's green when others die. Tell us Jesus came and why. To give us life, and so we say, this Christmas time and every day, live in us, dear Lord, we pray. Twinkling atop our tree, the star tells us wise men traveled far to find the king. And so we say, this Christmas time and every day, be our king, dear Lord, we pray. The gifts that sit beneath our tree tell us God's love for you and me. For Christmas Day is when we sing, we welcome you, our newborn king, born in a lowly cattle stall. You're the greatest gift of all. This Christmas time and every day, thank you, God, for Christmas Day. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. Let me pray over you, okay? So if you bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm going to pray for you. Father, thank you for each one of these kids. They are your gift to us, and we thank you for them. Lord, I ask that your hand would be on them for good. Protect them, lead them, guide them, direct them. Help them to come to know you if they haven't already at a real early age and fulfill your plan for their life. And we give you thanks for each of them. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go find whoever you came with. Thanks, guys.
Well, guys, it's good to see you today, and I'm so glad that you are here with us. Did anybody come expecting to receive something good from God today, or just me? All right. When we started this church 13 years ago, we've done many, many Christmas services, and never in my wildest imaginings would I think that it would I have thought that it would be necessary for us to do the extent that we are this year. And when we read that Christmas story, it was an incredible reminder to me. In fact, I got several photos this week via text and social media of Christmas has gone by with photos of that time, and some of the kids in the photos from times gone by are in high school now. So it was really awesome to see that, we've been on a journey together. And 13 years ago when we started this church, it was really for two reasons. Number one, we wanted to create a safe environment, a safe place where people could go on a spiritual journey together. And really, whether you know this or not, I believe with all of my heart that part of our being is spirit. We don't see the real us, and that spirit part of our being is crying out and desiring to have a more full relationship with God. And you can try to do it your own way and so on and so forth, but you're never going to be fulfilled until you just kind of give into and kind of yield to that yearning on the inside to be closer to God. And we wanted to have a place where you could go on a spiritual journey with clear steps on that path. And so we endeavored to create that. The second reason we started our church is we wanted to have a place where you could have a moment with God, an environment, a service where God's presence could really get into our hearts and change our world. And so my prayer for you today is that sometime during the service, whether it's already from a song or maybe in a scripture that we read, maybe in laughter or some other form of emotion, that you have a moment with you and God that will forever change the trajectory of your life. And so it's my honor to be able to share with you some thoughts. And it's widely agreed about the Christmas story, and almost all of us have heard the Christmas story multiple times. You have a memory or something from the past. You maybe envision the nativity scene. And my family has a nativity set that was given to me by my mom, and it's really beautiful, elegant white a nativity scene, and it's got all of the figurines in it. It's got the camel, it's got Joseph, it's got Mary, it's got baby Jesus, it's got the shepherds, it's got all that stuff in it. It's really awesome. And when I think about that, you probably have something similar, or have seen something similar. It reminds me kind of a story about a little boy writing a letter to God along with kind of his Christmas wish list for the year with all the things that he wanted. And so he starts the letter and says, God, I've been good all year long. And so he starts listing all of the things, and he sees that the list is pretty exhaustive. And he's like, I better revise this. And he starts out and scratches out, I've been good all year long. And he changes that to, I've been good for 6 months. And he reads it, and it's like, man, that's a really long list. God's going to know that it really isn't. He crosses it off. He says, I've been really, really good for one whole month with his list. And he kind of thinks about it. He walks over. He looks at the nativity scene. He takes Mary, the figurine of Mary, and wraps her in tissue paper and starts his letter all over again. And he says, it starts like this. He says, if you ever want to see your mother again. I think it's kind of a cute little example of how we barter with God at times. God, if you do this for me, and then I'll do that for you. We've all been there. And so as I was thinking about a theme for my portion of today, if you don't know me, maybe you do know me and you'll be surprised by this, but I'm not like a traditionalist kind of guy. In other words, like, I don't eat the same breakfast every morning. I don't like adhere to certain traditions. I'm like always changing and doing different things. My dad, on the other hand, major league traditionalist. Like, he is the definition of traditionalist. I'm not that. I'm whatever the opposite is. He's a Browns fan. I'm not. You see what I'm saying about the traditionalist part? That was funnier. I don't care what you say. That was funny. Some of you, I must have a room full of Browns fans. Browns? Oh, yeah, it must be. It's pretty sad Christmas. It's dark. So I thought about a theme because I didn't want to just do the normal text that everybody hears. And so I set out on a journey myself, and I began to ask myself this question. What if, guys, there is more to the story than we've heard or read in Luke and Matthew's Gospels? What if there's another angle on the Christmas story that really we haven't seen? And so I set out on this journey, and how many of you would agree that we live in a world that's getting, seems to be at times, I think the case can be made, that we live in a world that seems to be getting darker and darker all the time. Harder and harder, more difficult, more challenging. And that darkness affects us in our emotions. It challenges us in unique ways. And so I thought, what if we just went with the theme of light? And I had this thought connected to it. It's amazing what a little bit of light will do. And so anytime I study scripture, what I do is I find every place in the Bible where it covers that subject, and I look up all those verses, and whatever ones of those verses stick out to me, I just kind of pass on to you because I think they're meaningful. So that's what I do. And I start with the very beginning because a Bible school instructor taught me a long time ago that there's an important law in Bible study, and it might help you. It's called the law of first mentions. And what this means is anytime a subject or word is introduced in the Bible for the first time, we should pay a special close attention to it. If you really want to understand the subject, go to the first place it's mentioned and really put all of your heart and soul into that. So that's what I did. I went to the very first place where light is mentioned in the Bible to see what precedent God would set about this theme of light. And then I wondered, is it possible that it carries over into the Christmas story? So follow along with me as I read the scripture, because I found that light is a major theme in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, a passage you all are very, very familiar with says this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness," everybody say darkness. "Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light." The first place it's mentioned. I want you to notice something really, really quickly. That God was motivated to action by the darkness he observed in the world. He saw darkness, and that propelled him into action to do something. And he said, "I don't want my creation to live in darkness, and so I'm going to bring them light." Someone might say, "Well, yeah, that's just the earth, the moon, and the stars being created." Well, you certainly include that, but that isn't the extent of it. How do I know? Because Jesus says. He says in John chapter 12, verse 46, he says, "I've come." In other words, the whole reason that we celebrate Christmas, the whole reason there's a holiday for us to celebrate, the whole reason we even explore this subject, he says, "I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark." He said, "I didn't just come to be a baby in a manger. I didn't just come to add a holiday to the calendar." He said, "I came to dispel and destroy all of the darkness that we would contend with." I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. See, it's interesting to me that we celebrate the birth of Jesus at the darkest time of year. In other words, it's during the winter solstice. It's the longest nights and the shortest days. And for whatever sets of reasons that you might want to discuss about that, it's fine. But it's an incredible reminder to me that God came in our darkest hour. When it's darkest, he thought about that moment that we would be in with the desire to set us free from the darkness. I've watched lots of people over nearly 20 years of being involved with people. People have some dark things that they deal with: pain, loss, physical ailments, emotional distresses and challenges, all kinds of things that people have that really work darkness into their world. And here's what I found, guys, in my own life, at times when there have been dark moments, God came to illuminate all the darkness that any of us would ever experience. Like he shines his light in all kinds of darkness. But here's what I found about my own dark moments. That the more I try to carry it, the more I try to find my way free, the heavier that becomes. In other words, the more I try to do it on my own, the more I realize how incapable I am of carrying it. Because see, here's the deal. Jesus came to lift that burden of darkness with his light. Some of you are probably trying to figure out, where am I going? I mean, some of you, like, I think he's going to go to this scripture next, and I think he's going to go to the star and the light and all that stuff, and I'm not going to go to any of it. Here's the deal. Because in my study, Matthew and Luke tell a beautiful story. We've all read from that. And in my study, I thought that Mark and John's gospel just started with Jesus as an adult. But I stand corrected. And I'm going to show you that John has a beautiful, beautiful Christmas story that I overlooked. And I wonder maybe if you have too. In John chapter 1, here's John's Christmas story. In the beginning was the Word. Let me just pause right there. The Word in the Greek for word is a word logos. And part of its definition means God's best idea. So here's what he says. In the beginning was God's best idea. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I would say this is an amazing part of the Christmas story that we just kind of rush past and haven't seen. See, whereas the other gospels, they give us the details of Jesus' birth. The stable, the manger, the innkeeper, the shepherds, the wise men, the star, all of those amazing things. They give us the details of Jesus' birth. John, on the other hand, he gives us the significance of Jesus' birth. He tells us why Jesus came. He tells us that Jesus came to shine a light in our dark times. And I'm so thankful that he has done that. Heard a story about a little boy. Mama told him, you got to go out and sweep the porch. And he, as boys will do, kind of procrastinated. And by the time he came around to doing it, it was dark. And at that point, he made the excuse of, I don't want to go out in the dark. I'm scared of the dark. Just talk back to me for a minute. How many of y'all have children? Let me see your hands. How many have kids? How many kids give you excuses when it gets nighttime, when it gets bedtime? Like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And so it's amazing what a little bit of light will do. And the little boy's like, I don't want to do that. It's scary, Mom. It's dark. She's like, don't worry about it, son. It'll be okay. Jesus is with you wherever you go. He's like, I don't want to do it. It's dark. She said, son, Jesus is in the darkness with you. So he walked to the door, to the porch, and he kind of opened it just a little bit. And he said, hey, Jesus, if you out there, can you hand me the broom? I think it's awesome that all of us go through moments where we really just ask, are you there with me, God? And this season reminds us that he's always with us. He'd never leave us and he'd never forsake us. One of my all-time favorite passages is John chapter 8. But before that, if I go back to John chapter 14, he finishes it and he says this, the Word dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, talking about Jesus, his birth. He was made flesh and he dwelt among us. And he describes this Jesus that came as being full of grace and truth. So this light is a representation of Jesus, full measure of grace and full measure of truth. And in John chapter 8, I don't know if it's my favorite story in scripture, but boy, it's one of them. It's a story of a woman who's caught in a sin. And they bring her to the center of the city. And they are going to condemn her to death. And in the middle of this narrative, Jesus steps in on the scene with all of these individuals with their rocks in their hands, ready to stone her. He walks into this environment and they ask him, what would you say we're supposed to do? He stops. He contemplates it. And he says these words that everyone in here has heard. Whichever one of you is without sin, you can cast or throw the first stone. Everyone leaves. Jesus and the woman have a conversation. And Jesus says to her, asks her a question, woman, where are the people who accuse you? She said, they're gone, Lord. And he says these amazing words, and neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Of anyone on the planet who had the power and the potential to condemn her was the man who had been without sin. And he said, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. Until about a year ago, I always read that passage and stopped at verse 11. It's John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And I always stopped thinking that was the end of the story. But it isn't the end of the story. And about a year ago, I had this idea. Why don't you just read verse 12? That's a novel idea, isn't it? Just keep reading. And here's how the story really ends. Or the next part anyway. And when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said this. Watch. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. At the end of this story of Jesus expressing grace and truth in its fullest measure, he says, do you see what I just did for her? The same light that I gave to her, you can have as well. You don't have to walk in darkness. You don't have to walk in ignorance. You don't have to walk in pain. You don't have to walk in struggle. The thing that I did for her, I want to do for you. And he's saying the exact same thing to us here more than 2,000 years later. He still continues to be the light of the world. And anyone who believes and follows, you don't have to walk in darkness. You can have the light of life. And when I think about this, I think about the dark moments that I've been through. That last day in March 2011, when my mama left this life and went into the next, how my emotions went to a very dark place. The Christmas leading up to that, knowing inside, this is probably my last Christmas with my mom. How dark that was. But knowing that I serve of God who's greater than any darkness I'll ever walk through. That day on September the 4th, 2013, 4 days before my 36th birthday when I had that heart attack, one of the darkest moments, the darkest moment of my physical life, what got me through is knowing that Jesus is the light in my darkness. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. And time after time after time, I've walked with people as they've gone through divorce and miscarriage and challenges in relationships and finances, to be able to see God show up with his light in such a dark moment for others. It gives me hope. It gives me joy. It reminds me what we truly celebrate at this time of year, that darkness will never overcome the light of Jesus Christ. You could pump truckload after truckload after truckload of darkness into this room, and you know what would happen? Nothing. Because light is always greater than darkness. As long as lights are on, there's no amount of darkness you could pump in here to overcome the light. How do I get this light, Josh? How do I let this be in my life? It's a good question. The answer is found back there in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God said, let there be light. And there was light. In order for light to come into your world, we have to let it. I looked up the word let in Webster's dictionary. I do all the hard work for you, ladies and gentlemen. You're welcome. And I got down to the fifth definition. And the fifth definition of the word let in Webster's has this as its explanation of the word: to permit to enter. I read that and I shouted amen reading Webster's dictionary. I mean, I amen Webster right there in my office. Like, woo, that's awesome. He's preaching now, Webster. What do you mean? See, when we permit God's light to enter, it has the power to change everything. But we've got to let it. Allow me to illustrate it this way. Here in a minute, we're going to close our service with a candle lighting ceremony. This candle that I've just lit has the potential to do something, or it has the potential to do nothing. It depends on whether or not we let it be. See, when we pass the candle and we pass the light from one candle to the next here in just a few moments, at any moment you can stop it. You can stop the light from overcoming the darkness. But if you let it, the light will transform this room and change it from a place that's very dark to a place that's illuminated with light. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I don't know your particular situation. I don't know the circumstance. I don't know the emotional condition. I don't know the physical condition. I don't know what is exactly going on in your world. But I want to invite you to let the light shine. I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat. I'm not going to ask you to come down front. I'm not even going to ask you to lift your hand, but I want to lead you in a prayer. If there's some darkness in your world that you want to allow and to let God's light to shine. There's all kinds of darkness that we experience. I think the greatest one is spiritual darkness, which, as I described a few minutes ago, is you believing you can carry the weight of your life, and you can't. That's why God came, to erase every kind of darkness, including the spiritual darkness that sometimes we walk in. I have amazing, wonderful news for you, that God's light is notorious for showing up in our darkness. I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer. You don't have to pray it out loud. Just pray it between you and God. But let me lead you. Pray a prayer like I've prayed many times before. Jesus, right now this part of my life is dark. I need your light. I need your life. So I permit you, I let you enter my world. Now take your place in my life. You are the Lord of my life. I give you my life. Change me. Transform me. I will live for you the best way I know how. But I need your help. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.